You've heard this many times. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. One more text is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1, what we mentioned at the beginning of the service today. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. One of the reasons why we have so many different denominations nowadays is because people like to worship in different ways. Some people like some sign of life in worship service. So they want to pray out loud, they want to sing loud, and they want to dance and even jump and, you know, use tambourines. You know, they want a loud, active service. That's what they like. And others are, you know, they want more quiet, contemplative service with candlelights and, you know, a nice, conducive environment for prayer without much movement. And some people like lots of manifestations of the Holy Spirit, like praying in tongues or prophesying or you know, receiving healing in worship. And others, they like a service more focused on the exposition of God's word. Others like service with a very clear structure and lots of liturgy, and we call them the high liturgy churches. You know, when you go to a Catholic worship service or Anglican worship service, there's lots of liturgy, lots of, you know, sitting downs and ups, very formal. And others like worship without much structure and liturgy, and we call them low liturgy churches. And some Baptist churches are like that. They have a minimal structure. It's just praise, prayer, long message, and that's it. And you go home. Others like worship that is sort of in between, not too much liturgy and not too little liturgy, and just about in between. Now, is there a right way to worship God? Does the Bible direct us in a certain way of worship? The Bible does not say you shall have church announcements right before the message. It doesn't really prescribe a detailed order of worship. But there are some passages where we can see some patterns in worship or some elements that are essential to worship. And today I want to share with you why we worship in a certain way at this church, and what worship is, and how worship empowers us to live for Christ. So we can see in today's text, the text in Acts, some elements of biblical worship. The church, it says, was devoted to the teaching of God's word, prayer, fellowship, and celebrating the Lord's Supper, and they gave money for the poor members, and they sang praise together. And you notice that that's what we do in our worship service. You know, we listen to God's word, we pray, we have, you know, some fellowship, like, you know, sharing of the peace. We sometimes celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we give offering, and we praise. So throughout the 2,000 years of church history, the church worship included all these elements. But during the Middle Ages, the church service got clogged with lots of man-made traditions. So during the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, The reformers made changes in worship service to get rid of all these man-made traditions. And after the Reformation, the preaching of God's word became the central part of worship. And more than any other reformer, John Calvin tried the hardest to find a worship pattern that reflects God's word. So in Reformed churches, which includes us, the Presbyterian churches, we try to follow this worship structure based on the worship patterns and elements in the Bible. Do we have a slide for that? Okay. It's first gathering around the word, proclaiming the word, responding to the word, and the sealing of the word, and bearing the word into the world. And God's word can be, it's almost interchangeable with the gospel. So we can see it as gathering around the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, responding to the gospel, sealing of the gospel, and bearing the gospel into the world. That is the worship structure. So let me first briefly talk about gathering around the gospel. So Reformed worship usually begins with a call to worship. We believe that it is not us who come to worship, but it is God who calls his people to worship him every Sunday on the Lord's Day. So the gospel is God taking the initiative. God came down to reach us. God first loved us. God first made a sacrifice for us. In the same way, God takes the initiative and he summons his people to spend time with him, to see him, to hear him, to talk to him. When we hear God's call, we come and we enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. So we sing praises in the beginning of worship. And as we enter into God's presence, we realize how holy God is and how sinful we are. That's why we confess our sins and we receive God's forgiveness. And then the second part is proclaiming of the gospel. The Bible is God's written word, and preaching is the proclaimed word, and the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, are God's sealed, or God's word enacted or sealed. And those three forms of word, they all testify to who Jesus Christ is. What's to be preached every Sunday in worship service is not law or ethics or rules upon rules, but the good news of what Jesus has done for us. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we know, point to the person of Jesus Christ. And what motivates us to live for Christ is not the law, the commands, or ethics, but the good news. What we find in the good news is both God's justice and mercy. In the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, we see both the horror of our sins and the extent of God's mercy. And it's God's amazing grace and love that motivates us to live life for him. And the third part is responding to the gospel. How do you respond when God says, "I love you," and to prove his love, he dies for you on the cross? Jesus has poured out his flesh and blood for us. Do we respond with a yawn, or do we respond with, "Yeah, I know that stuff, I've heard it many times"? Paul tells us how we are to respond to such love in Romans 12. "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's love, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true worship." Therefore, refers to what Paul has said in the previous sections of Romans, which is chapter 1 to 11. And they can all be summarized as God's mercies, God's demonstrations of love. And in view of God's mercy, we are to respond by offering our bodies as living sacrifice. And giving our bodies as living sacrifice means that we live our lives for God in response to God's grace. And our response starts in worship service here today. We can give ourselves to God as living sacrifice in several different ways. One way is by giving our money as offering. So, you know, during worship service, we have a, you know, offering. You know, we usually have boxes up here, and people, when we have a greeting, they put offerings in the box. But usually offering is done after the message to denote our response to God's grace. And the giving of offering is not just the giving of our resources, but it also signifies the giving of ourselves, our lives, our talents, everything that we are and everything that we have to God for His use. So in Reformed worship service, the offering usually comes after the message. Another good way for us to respond, to give ourselves as living sacrifice, is done through prayer. We commit ourselves to obey God's word, and we pray that God would give us the power to obey Him, the power to share the good news. And that is why we have a time of prayer after the message. It's a time for us to respond to God's word and to God's grace. Another way to offer ourselves as living sacrifice is to give God praise and thanksgiving. So after the message, we usually have a praise, a song to respond. So, you know, it's all done in response to the gospel. And the next part that's included in worship is the sealing of the gospel. These have to do with the sacrament, and Jesus commanded only two sacraments to be celebrated. One is baptism, and the other one is the Lord's Supper. And we have the Lord's Supper once a month on the first Sunday of each month. And these are sacraments that seal or confirm God's word or God's promise in the gospel. And God uses these sacraments as a means of grace, but they can also be our response to God's grace. In baptism or in confirmation, we are responding to God's grace by saying before the public, "From now on, I will follow Christ." So it's your commitment in response to what God has done for you. And the Lord's Supper in Latin means Eucharist, and Eucharist means thanksgiving. So the Lord's Supper is our thanksgiving for God's salvation. It's our response. We are saying, "God, thank you for saving us." And the last part of our worship is bearing the gospel into the world. The last part is being sent out into the world with the gospel. And we are, you know, all of you and I, we are sent out as missionaries into the world, with usually with a charge and a blessing. That's why we do a benediction at the end. And that's the pattern we see in the Bible. In his encounter with God in the temple, Isaiah, he hears the three-person God asking, "Who will go for us? Whom shall we send?" And so, you know, he volunteers, he raises, "God, I'll go, please send me." So he is sent out with the Lord's mission. When Elijah encounters God in Mount Horeb, the Lord sends him back into the world with a new mission. When David, whenever he experienced God's grace, he usually says these things in Psalms: "I will declare your glory to the nations," or "I will teach sinners your ways." And that is how we continue to worship God throughout the week. That is how we live as living sacrifice. Worship is not just a Sunday thing, but it is 24/7 matter in our life. So we worship God when we honor Jesus with our words and with our actions in our daily life. when we try to live according to His will revealed in the Bible. We worship God when we love our next door neighbor. We worship God when we faithfully do our work with integrity. We worship God when we share the gospel with our coworkers or friends. We worship God as we play with our kids and help them do their homework and nurture our families. So our response to God starts in worship service, and it continues in our daily life. And that is why we end the service with a benediction. We are sent out into the world to live according to the gospel. So worship is basically a meeting between God and His people. Worship is a two-way communion between God and us. God initiates worship by calling His people to worship Him. And so we come together to honor God, and God descends upon His people as we gather in His name. And God invites us into His presence, and God gives Himself to us by revealing His glory, His majesty. God gives Himself to us by filling us with His word, with His life, His love, joy, and peace. Then we respond to God's giving of Himself with the giving of ourselves. We give God our bodies as living sacrifice. We give God honor, praise, and thanksgiving. We give God our money and our commitment to follow Christ. And in the Presbyterian Book of Order, we have a directory of worship. It serves as a guideline for our worship service, and it describes the Christian life as self-offering. It says, the Christian life is an offering of oneself to God. In worship, people are presented with the costly self-offering of Jesus and are led to respond by offering Him their lives, their gifts and abilities, and their material goods. So worship is not mainly about receiving things from God, but it is more about giving ourselves to God. And we can focus so much on receiving grace from God that we can neglect the offering of ourselves to God. Lastly, God honoring worship transforms and empowers us for God's work. We're not doing God a favor by coming to worship on Sundays, because we need worship for our own spiritual growth. We need worship for our transformation. As we worship, our spiritual eyes are opened and we can behold God's glory. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. The Holy Spirit enables us to sense or to see God's holiness, God's glory, God's majesty. And as we experience God's character, we are changed and transformed. In our worship, we encounter the living God, and our hearts, our souls are touched. When we are hurting, we receive God's comfort and healing. When we are sick, God can give us a healing. When I was serving as an associate pastor in a church in Michigan, my former church held a worship service once a month on Friday night. And this was meant for all the small groups to come together. In that church, there was a small group meeting. Either, you know, some groups met once a week or others met every other week. But on that Friday, all the small groups were come together at church and worship and pray. So one time we were worshiping, the senior pastor asked people in the congregation to raise their hands, you know, if they have any physical weakness or sickness. So about 10 people raised their hands, and he asked the associate pastors and the elders around them to go to them, you know, lay their hands and pray for their healing. So that's what we did, that's what I did. And then the next week, when we were having a staff meeting, the senior pastor told us that one person came to him and said he had a severe backache, but he was healed during that prayer service. And he told him that Pastor Joe prayed for me and I was healed. And they all looked at me like I had some kind of a gift of a healing. I was like, I don't have that gift. I pray for my kids that they don't get healed. I pray for myself, now I don't get healed. So I don't have that gift. But I thought about that. Why was that person healed at the service? I think it's because it was a God-honoring worship, and God showed God's power and grace to him. Maybe because he really longed for God's grace or wanted to receive God's grace. So, you know, worship may be the best context for us to receive God's healing. Not just spiritual, but even physical healing as well. But I do have some, you know, cautions about conducting a healing worship service. You know, that almost seems like we're manipulating God to get what we want. But, you know, I think healing is sort of a byproduct of God-honoring worship. I don't think we should have, you know, a service just for the sake of healing. So God-honoring worship always transforms people, brings us change, and empowers us for service. When we are afraid, God gives us courage. When we are hopeless, we receive God's hope. When our hearts are cold, God melts our hearts and enables us to love others. When we are hesitating to believe or trust, God gives us faith through his word. And when we are silent, God encourages, and God will open our mouths to share the good news. When we dedicate ourselves to God as living sacrifice, God will use us to demonstrate the power of the gospel. How important is this Sunday worship to you? Do we come out of a habit? Do we come out of guilt? Do we just come to hang out with people that we feel comfortable with? Or do we come to meet with God? Do we seek him with all our hearts? Do we pray for the Lord's Day worship service? We need to worship together on the Lord's Day for our own benefit, for our own spiritual transformation. We need worship. So let us come together every Sunday, every Lord's Day. Let us come together seeking God's face, and let us give ourselves to God and respond to what God has done for us. And let us be empowered by worship to live for Jesus throughout the week. And let's spend some time responding to God's message. Let's close our eyes and think of the message for us today. And let's just pray that we would become true worshipers who love to honor God and worship God.